Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trioteo, checking in from the Ghetto Flower. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to all of those supporters out there who've been showing love to the Ghetto Flower Season 5. I promise this is the best season yet. And now, let's get into today's episode with a very, very special guest. Be sure to like and subscribe, and be sure to never miss your chance to wake up and smell the flowers. Because after all, we are all Ghetto Flowers. Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trioteo, and I'm here with the Ghetto Flower, Fresh Flowers Podcast. You already know what it is. Got my main man, my co-host in the building. Q, what's good, bro?
What's going on? What's going on? We got another great episode ahead of us.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Super excited for this one. Kind of a double whammy, ultimately.
Yes, sir.
Guests. So I appreciate y'all for coming through, but I'll have y'all introduce yourselves, man. So,
hey, man, Galaxy Francis, the spacious one, the Andromeda. Galaxy Surf.
It's Daylight Tone, Big Left Lane General in this motherfucker.
You know what's good. You know what's good.
Delegate Tanay.
Delegate Tanay, Jealous Shy Francois.
I feel like there's gonna be a lot of those right. In this episode.
Exactly,
bro. You gotta fill us in on like the inside jokes and let us know, man. So we can get hit, man.
It's a whole language for real, for real. That's why we got that song called Language.
Big language.
And we roommates too, so that's damn near bro for real.
Bad, that's dope. So I guess we can kick it off with how'd y'all connect?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. What's left lane, bro? What's left lane?
Go ahead, tell it to me, man.
Man, that's crazy. All right, so look, left lane is like a, you know, obviously it's a conglomerate of creatives that we have, you know, that make music, that are into all different forms of like all different types of like facets. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But left lane is basically a state of mind, you feel me? Like, we just left everybody else, you know what I'm saying? It's like, whatever you got going on, like, I'm in the fast lane with it, you feel me? Like, mm-hmm. I can do what you do, but, you know what I'm saying? I'm left, y'all, you know what I'm saying? I'm going too crazy with it.
I feel you.
So it's like, it don't gotta be on some music shit. It could be anything that you got going on, you feel me? Like, I'm just in the left lane with it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Right.
That's the whole gang, you feel me?
And we met smooth through the gang, actually. Yeah. Banks?
Yeah, it had to
I
be.
I want to say Banks. Yeah, Leo. My bad, Leo. Made by Leo.
Yeah, for real.
Down in Atlanta.
For sure.
He introduced us. I slid to Glass Tree Studios, actually.
Damn. And I was, what, like 20?
I was like right before the pandemic. I think like 2019.
We was on some R&B.
We made that song with J-Hop.
Yeah, shout out to J-Hop, bro.
Shout out to Hop, man.
Yeah, yeah, J-Hop for sure. He cold as hell. Yeah. So 2019, like who's in Left Lane other than yourselves?
Man,
Chan Thousand. Yeah, the bro, he's Mighty a DJ Chow, producer. Chow, he produced Rush Hour 3
for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Johnny Jones, he's
crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny for sure. Fire rapper.
Bro,
Gid,
the
homie, yeah, for sure.
He a barber, but he
low-key
got bars.
He definitely like that. Nah, it's facts.
Capital B-A-R barber.
I'm trying to think. You got Solo Sam.
Okay, shout out Solo. Shout out Solo.
Doing his thing type shit.
Solo
definitely. He definitely Solo. Definitely Lang.
KO, not KO that y'all had.
Photographer KO, yeah.
KO, shout out, bro.
Yeah, Left Lane is really like, man, it's a
Lou.
Really the homies. Right. Lou right Lou behind right here. Yeah, I can't see him right now, but Luprano.
Yeah, Luis Scola.
Let's get it. Luis Scola.
Hey, it sound like y'all deep though. Like y'all just a team full of creators,
yeah.
Right?
We just friends. I think that's kind of what we established. It's just like we try to inspire each other, you know, and just be there for each other on a personal level.
For sure, man. For real.
So we damn near do more like interpersonal activities than we make music. For real.
Yeah, that's dope. That's what it's all about. For real. Yeah.
But Johnny Duck in his verse though. Controversy.
What you waiting on a verse from him?
Yeah. Well, no. What's crazy? He sent me a song, and I love the song. I love it, Johnny, obviously. And I hopped on the song.
Hey,
I went 07 Wayne on
drop.
It though.
Drop. I'm gonna say it.
07 Wayne.
I went 07 Wayne. He started it. He started the track. You know, he came in smooth. He was sliding on that. And then maybe he got like 8-10 bars in and he was like, man, go crazy. I was like, oh, don't tell me that. Went crazy.
Lost your top on that.
No, for real. And I want the people to hear it. I want a Johnny to slide on the come back. You know what I'm saying? On the end of it, for real.
That record gonna be so crazy. So come on. I can't wait for it to drop.
Come on to Johnny. Also, congratulations to him. He did just drop a 3-song EP too.
Yeah, that's facts.
So, shout out, bro.
Yeah, shout out, bro. Shout out, bro.
That's dope. But shit, let's dive into some more personal stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Galaxy, obviously, friend of the team, friend of the show. This is your first time, you know, rocking out with the podcast for us, but we've been tapped in, obviously, through your music, through different shows that we popped out to. But definitely would love to, you know, hear a bit about you and your creative process. You know, obviously, we noticed that you've made some changes as far as your music career. So we definitely want to dive into that. But I guess we could sort of kick off on a high note. You know, you just recently dropped the single Shining. See, you're rocking the Shining hoodie.
Mm-hmm. The brand is strong.
Real
head
strong.
Head to toe shining.
Real strong. Man. Dripped out in TGF yellow.
Of course, sir.
Of course. Yes, sir. Of course, sir.
Man, go ahead to that website and copy some 50%
But no, so let's get into that single. I know you collaborated with Jay Wood, another friend of the show. So yeah, let's dive into a little bit of that and how that came about.
Man, The Shining came about, I want to say 2018, 2019.
Oh, wow.
Whenever Monty Booker dropped his first drum kit, like that was one of the first beats that I made with his drum kit. So
damn, that
it's like 5 snares. Mm-hmm. Some of them were from Monty's kit, but like the hi-hats, like those are definitely from Monty's kits for sure. So made that beat. It just kind of came to me. I had the hook, I feel like, at first, and then I kind of made those chords around that, and I knew I wanted to make something light. Recorded that hook, recorded up until like the 4th bar in the first verse, and then sat on the song.
Damn.
Like, because I didn't know how to finish it at the time, and I don't try to force a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I was like, the time is going to come for the song to be able to come out, like when it's going to be received the right way. I just know it has to be finished some other way. And then I had some kind of revelation where I just wanted to collaborate with people more. And that was the answer.
Yeah.
Was to add somebody else's energy to the song. And I'm a big fan of Jay Wood's music. So him and I have been, you know, tapped in with each other, just doing other stuff. Like in the scene, we had a few sessions together prior to making The Shining. So when he came and did that, he wrote his verse probably in like 15 minutes, laid it in another 10 at the crib. And then I finished the hook. That's where you get pose, click, flash. I'm like, you know, so he records his verse and then I do that because it's like, this song makes sense now. Yep. I know what it needs to finish it off. It just needs that super hook that everybody can kind of relate to. That's how that song came
out. That's dope. So did you know, like, when you were holding on to it, did you know you were holding on? Were you doing the rebrand process, like, during that time?
Yes.
Or did you know? Okay, cool. Okay, for sure.
Great
for sure,
question.
Sure.
That's a great segue, too. Sure. So when I had made that song, I was L.A. Van Gogh.
Really? You know, okay.
My artist name was L.A. Van Gogh at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was focused on putting out more music, like the Shapeshifter project.
Right.
I had made that in that same time frame, like, or maybe after I had finished the Shapeshifter project.
For sure.
And I knew I wanted to do more. During the pandemic, I made this kind of like 90s R&B album that we hope will come out. The Sir Francis joint. You know what I'm talking about. And I made that album out of a reaction to all the stress that I was dealing with. It's basically just like a love album dedicated to a close friend. I ended up making that. Saying all that to say, I realized how much I love singing more than I did rapping. There was more I could emote with my more melodic voice and with the background vocals than I could do with the way that I was rapping at the time. And don't get me wrong, I believed I was a fire rapper. I still am, you know. But along that brand journey was me realizing what I wanted. What made me feel like I was having fun? What made me feel like a kid while I was making it? And just the name L.A. Van Gogh in general, like, I love following you on Twitter because you're big on marketing and SEO. So that is exactly where my mind was when every time I would search L.A. Van Gogh, I'm competing with 3 or 4 other very big brands. La Oreja de Van Gogh, which is like a Spanish band, like based over in Europe. The Van Gogh Immersive Exhibit. And Los Angeles, the city. So I'm
too crazy.
I gotta spend bad. And then Vincent Van Gogh. So if I wanna compete SEO wise, I can't compete, bro. So having that realization as a brand and just always doing a sort of self-reflection of like, what glass ceilings am I putting on myself? Mm-hmm. Am I fitting in with who I want to be? And knowing that one of my goals is kind of being, having my own space, being in that left lane for real. Then I started to think about what my name would be, what would be different.
Mm-hmm.
From the marketing standpoint, the first thought was, how can I stand out? So I maybe have a note in my phone of maybe like 30 to 40 names that I thought about. And I would Google the names. And if I didn't find search results, like, I started to hone in on which one would make sense as a name.
Got it.
So mm-hmm. Galaxy Francis was the result of all of that thinking.
So I guess take us a little deeper. Where did Galaxy and Francis come from? Is it tied to your government name at all? Is there like a theme behind this?
Not at all. Not at all, actually. At the time when I came up with it. So anybody that knows me knows I will bring up space if I can. Anybody mm-hmm. that's close to me is like,
do you like space?
You like space. That's me. So if anytime I get, you know, start to build a relationship with somebody, that's one of the questions I ask. You like space because you're trying to watch Interstellar or something like that. So that's how I'm bonding with people, right?
Okay.
So I just really love the idea of space, the ideas of quantum physics and quantum mechanics. Like, I'm not super deep on it, but just the theories of it and what they represent and the knowledge that they've brought about to just like the space community and education as a whole, I just have always been kind of enamored by. And all right, y'all gonna get the exclusive on one of the inspirations for this name, right?
For sure. So TGF when I was exclusive.
TGF exclusive. When I was give me the drop.
Oh fuck.
There we go. So in addition to being a big space fan, I'm also a big Frank Ocean fan.
Okay, for sure.
So a part of my love for the name Francis is an extension of my love for Frank Ocean, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Ocean. Reverse it. Francis Galaxy.
Ooh.
You see what I'm saying? So like,
I feel you.
That was an inspiration of like me thinking about what makes me happy. Whoa. What do I want to stand for? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
I ain't even know that shit.
So this is where that came from. I was like, I can't do an exact rip of Frank Ocean. That's not me.
Yeah.
And that's not who I want to be as an artist. But I do want to uplift always the people that inspire my journey. Frank Ocean was one of those people. So when I was making that R&B album, the name of it was Sir Francis Waters, Frank Ocean.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I wanted to emote like Frank Ocean does, you know, what I thought that to be. And then I was like, I can't be Francis Waters. Like, there's Fresh Waters, you know, shout out to Fresh.
Yeah. Man, I knew she just dropped was so cold. So
there's a Cold
fire.
Waters too. There's a Cold
Water. Yeah, yeah, yes. Cold Waters. Yeah, yeah. He's cold too. Yeah, he's cold too.
So, you know, again, competing in SEO space, I don't want to be competing with. So once I had that realization of that love for the name Francis, I think I met a woman named Francis. And I just enjoyed hearing her name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Their name, perhaps. And I was like, dang, if I change my name, I would want to be named Francis. Their name was Francis with an E. I would be Francis with an I just because I like how it's spelled. So that's all a part of the journey of choosing that name and where it came from.
I feel you, bro. And like, you're a very like creative person because you bring up, you know, shapeshifter, and then, you know, you bring up like how you, you know, made your, you know, new name. Like, where does that come from, bro?
What like, do you mean by
like your creativity? Like,
damn, are we in therapy?
Because I'm telling you, because like, I'm like, and I told bro, I was all like, this dude could do anything musically, like for real, you know what I'm saying? And like, you know, seeing the Shapeshifter project, you're producing shit, you know, you're rapping, you got melodies on there, you know what I'm saying? Like all that shit. And you could tell you really do this for real. So like, where's that like creativity come from? You feel me?
There's a quote I think that I read that's like, confidence isn't the result of, you know, you repeating affirmations in the mirror. It's the result of having repeated evidence that you are who you think you are.
Mm.
So I believe in that I can do anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I've showed myself time and time again that I can. And what's important to me is that I also have sources of those things, so sources of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I could tap into those emotions
mm-hmm.
and things that I admire when I'm trying to be creative. It's like when you're trying to learn a new language and you're trying to figure out the vocabulary. When you're really young, when you start now making music, you don't know all the words. So you can only say so much. You can only form these kinds of paragraphs. Mm-hmm. But the more verse you get, the more words that you get, the more vocabulary you get, the more you can write books now. Then mm-hmm. you can write movies. And I'm a big movie fan, too, so that's where my creativity comes from. When I was a kid, I watched a lot of movies, mm-hmm. cartoons. My grandmother's actually really creative. I had this realization the other day. She makes cards, like, just like holiday cards, greeting cards, just for family, you mm-hmm. know, just for a special occasion. So she'd always make me cards. So I think I saw the technology at a young age, too, when my grandmother had a computer that I put Fruity Loops on. Uh-huh. So, and my father always went to bat for me. He's a really important person in my life, but my father always went to bat for me when maybe other people in the family wanted me to focus more on school. And I was a good student, too. Mm-hmm. Like, damn near graduated top three in my high school class. So like, I had that taken care of, right? Went to college. So I always had that. Mm-hmm. But my father saw that I'm a creative. Mm-hmm. Back to what you're saying. So
I feel you.
I have still the support system and the environment that encourages me to be creative and to make mm-hmm. my own decisions about it. It's just me getting over myself at the end of the day.
I feel you. I feel you. That's big. That's big. Real. You spend facts. And one thing that you brought up during while you was talking, you brought up language. Mm. And I want to bring in tone for that.
Come on.
Single language. Let's break that down. You feel me? I fuck with it. I remember I seen y'all live, what was that, like a couple weeks ago, right?
And
then y'all was going back and
forth. Hey, great show, by the way.
You feel me? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, let's get into that, bro. Like, how'd that song come about? And like, you know, kind of break that down. You feel me?
Look, bro, so this is what happened. I was getting off I had a 9-to-5 at the time. I got back to the studio. I get to the studio. Actually, low key, was it you that texted? Yeah, it was you that texted me. We was up there. Slide through. They up there. It's him, Ethan. Ethan Deets. Shout out, Ethan.
Lou.
Lou was in there, yeah. My shorty, yeah. We end up, this man end up pressing play. He was like, look, I got some shit for you.
Mm-hmm.
That beat came on. I was like, damn, that shit crazy. Slapping. We just ended up going back and forth the whole time.
Set up the two mics and
shit was crazy.
Y'all just did y'all thing.
Yeah, whole time. We ain't write nothing. We just like,
yeah, we was literally dang, like how we're seated right now.
This is how it was.
This is damn near exactly how it was. Yeah, so the computer's on the left side of me. We're recording. One mic is here. One mic is there. He's in his chair. And then we just start looking at each other, you know what I'm saying? Because in the crib, this is what we do. I'll be in the crib making a smoothie or some shit, and I'm like, shmee more shmet the shmee of like smashing. And him,
and I'll be like,
and then he'll,
then a ton of money pass it off like, come on, team. Like,
so it's a result of that. And how long did that take us?
Maybe like 30 minutes, if that? Maybe an hour.
Maybe an hour after edits.
With the edits and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We probably came back to it like one time. Was like, man, I'm rocking with this.
Yeah.
But Ethan helped make the beat. He made that loop. He had that loop on his computer. And he sent it to me, and I did the drums.
Man, shout out to you. I feel you.
That's dope.
So are you part of all the production on your tracks, or like, what's up
in,
with that?
In a sense, if it's not production, I'm usually mixing it.
Right.
Because I'm trying to become a better engineer, and part of that is figuring out different techniques, mm-hmm. and also engineer and produce for other people too. So it's also natural for me to want to do that for myself.
I feel you. Yeah, that's dope. Cause I love that you drop language, and I'm trying to see like what is like the scope gonna be of Galaxy. You know what I'm saying? Like what you know, like, what you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like what
your
what?
Bag is deep.
That's
bro.
What
you
I'm
got a
saying.
Deep bag.
That's what I'm saying.
You got a deep bag.
That's
bro.
What I'm saying. I'm trying to figure
y'all
out.
Y'all
like,
haven't even heard the depth. Y'all see, you know how you see the memes of the iceberg and shit. And it's like the top of it, and it's like the bottom of it is like grief, fear, anger.
All the emotions,
the bad emotion. Imagine that, but it's all the bag of songs. I feel you.
I love that analogy because you for real got some. Yeah, you for real got some shit. Yeah. And like, and we seen the Shining the music video.
Video fire.
That shit was hard. Like, explain that whole journey of you. Did you slide to Wisconsin for that or like what? Okay, explain that whole journey.
So Lou and I were trying to come up with treatments for the project. Visuals are very important to us. It's important now, period.
Why do you feel like that?
Why? Because most of us are engaging to visuals. We're not on Twitter. Even on Twitter, like, we respond the most to visuals or something that's just emotionally engaging. For real. So I think visuals do the best job of emotionally engaging.
Right. Okay.
You can express a sound better. You can express a word better visually if you pursue it a certain way, basically. So we were trying to come up with a treatment. We were looking for places that had bathrooms that looked like they could have been in The Shining. Okay. So if you've ever seen The Shining,
you're a movie guy,
Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick is one of my favorite directors because of his attention to detail. So that's how I approach music. That's how I approach the film too. So we're trying to find places that could accommodate, you know, us maybe going for just renting a couple hours. And then the more we searched, the more we're like, we should do an Airbnb instead. And the one we found, I was just on Airbnb, and you know, the experiences to have different kinds of locations you can stay at. Castles was one of them. So I was just like, castle. One in Wisconsin shows up, and I look at the bathroom, and I send this to Lewis, and I'm like, this is damn near the bathroom. This is, you know, like, it's a combination of all of the Shining bathrooms in a sense. So found that spot, went up to Wisconsin with the plan to shoot six videos. I think we shot five or six. If we include like the Choose Your Fighter style videos, it's about six or seven videos.
So you just banged out a lot of videos.
Yeah. We rented that space out for three nights, four days. Saturday and Sunday was just work day for me, Lou, and Vic. Everybody else, the homies came up. It was Tone, Jay Wood slid. Namesake slid. The rest of the team. Yeah, Chan came. Okay, so
for sure.
It was a creative trip for most of us. It was a work trip for a few
Patrick's
of us.
Patrick Sun.
Patrick's Sun slid. Sam Bodie.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was a fun trip. And so we went out there with the idea of what we wanted to do, and we just executed it.
Man, this dude, attention to detail, insane. He's looking for the bathroom.
Literally.
He's looking for the bathroom.
I seen the video. You got the shots where you're looking in the mirror. Or you have the actor in the shoot. I don't know her name. I'm sorry.
Christian.
Shout out Christian. Yeah. Super dope. You got the captions on there. It's fire, man.
Thank you, man.
It's fire. Who edited and shot it?
So Vic was the DP. Okay. Lou and I would say we co-directed it.
Shout out Lou. He in the back.
Lou in the back. Damn near working right now.
Luciano.
And
Lou Prano.
Should I pause?
Lou Dunn.
No, okay, for sure. No, you good. Lou and I, you know, we came up with the treatment together and the logistics of it. You know? So him and I directed it. I edited it the same night we shot it, actually.
Wait, you edited everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did what the
sequence.
What
don't you do, bro?
Bro, that's man, that's what I'm saying.
I don't miss. I don't miss. That's what I don't miss. For real. That's how I feel.
It's fucking cold.
I edited it, and Vic colored it when we got back home. I made a few final changes, did the captions, and that was that.
Fire, bro.
See,
I had no idea he was editing it himself, bro. We was up in the Airbnb.
garage of the Airbnb.
Like, we was making some music. I walk over, this man at the computer. I'm like, what you want? He editing this motherfucker.
That is crazy.
No bullshit, go crazy, my boy.
Kobe mentality for real.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Bean mind.
Speaking of movies, like, do you feel like your love and passion for movies inspires your music at all? I mean, I guess it kind of does in that sense, right?
So the kicker for me is there is a very thin line between music and film for me.
Okay.
And the reason that is because when I imagine making songs, I'm imagining the music video. I'm imagining the room that this conversation that I'm trying to have, I'm imagining where that is.
Yeah, visually.
Yeah, so that's how I make songs, is I see the motion of what I'm trying to express. So for it to follow up, for me to do a music video, it's so easy because I already have the prompt images of what I want to convey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's sick. Sort of switching gears to another song. What is it? INFJ?
INTJ.
INTJ. So that's your personality type, right? Can you break that down for me?
According to the internet Myers-Briggs test that I took, that is my personality.
Okay. How would you describe your personality?
I think that if you look at that personality, that is pretty close to who I am. Where, in short, I would say I require or like a lot of recharging myself. I like to have a lot of these thoughts to myself, but equally, if not more, I like to be around people.
Okay.
Which your personality can change over the years.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm becoming a little bit more extroverted in how much I want to include people, how much it is important that I'm in relation with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a hermit, though. Like, I'll definitely I'd rather be in the crib, dip off, watching some movies or making some music. As long as I have the mental capacity to be with and around people, I try to be inclusive.
For sure.
Because I feel like that's important to me.
What was the process like when you decided to make that track?
Which, the INTJ?
Yeah, INTJ.
I think I was dealing with a lot of frustration and maybe kind of, maybe a stereotype, addressing the stereotype of INTJ, because I think that in identifying with that, relating that to some of the things I've experienced in my life, I feel like people have considered me standoffish, considered me not approachable. Or maybe that's just me projecting what I was thinking of myself, too. You know, that's a very real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But that song was addressing those kinds of stereotypes and those kind of thoughts within myself. So the song starts out, "Don't take it personal."
Yeah.
Some days I need time alone. It's damn near an echo of the Monica song. Don't take it personal. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So that just kind of just crescendoed into giving myself an explanation of who I saw myself as under the INTJ umbrella. But the intention was also there of giving other people that identify as INTJ something that they could rap word for word. And they're like, this is me.
This is me. Yeah.
This is who I am. And thank you for saying that.
I love the fact that you addressed that, because I don't know, I feel like creators in general, and probably more so musicians, feel like they may have to like be something else, not necessarily be themselves. And like you said, you know, you consider yourself an introvert, a hermit. Some people feel like, oh, if I want to be a musician or if I want to be a rapper, I got to be in everybody's face. I got to be yelling. I got to be the loudest. But like, nah, you could be chill. You could be yourself and still make an impact and still make a difference and still put out good ass fucking work.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's a gem right there. And, you know, shout out to you for explaining that. You know, just being willing to put that out there, man.
Bless. And let's kind of take. I'm trying to go back to the show, bro. You're a performer.
Oh, love.
You know
Thank
what
you,
I'm
bro.
Saying? Like, and that's what I love about like doing this is like when we write when we do articles and stuff. What really gets us in tune with people is when we slide up and we see how they perform.
Yeah.
Because that really shows me what type of person you are, what type of person you are, and what type of artist you are, you know, because you could handle the stage, both of y'all. Y'all did some shit without the beat. You know what I'm saying?
Fire. Yeah.
and niggas didn't miss
it. It was entertaining.
That's what I'm saying. And I love the way y'all do that. Like, how many have y'all been doing shows before together? Because you was giving some comedic shit, you was throwing out some shit too, and like I love that shit. Y'all done shows together before or no?
We started performing together because I would travel with him for shows that he had. So he what was the first show we did together? Atlanta.
We went to Atlanta.
A show in Atlanta.
Shout out Sync.
He had a show through Sync, and there's a song that we did together that isn't out yet. It's actually coming out in March.
Come on,
crazy.
Talk about
shout out Sebastian Kamei. It's a song called Woosah that we've just been performing.
Oh, you link with bro. He's hard. I fuck with him. He's hard, bro.
So I would travel with him. We went to Atlanta.
We went to LA too.
And then we came back and did a show at
the Metro. I opened up for Code of the Friend.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that shit, man, was crazy.
And we did. That was the first time we had a big crowd where we could like really test our chemistry on stage.
Damn.
And the Metro's legendary, man. That's a legendary venue, man.
Bro, I had on this jacket too, actually.
Facts. Yeah. I damn near had this jacket on too.
Twin. Something no for real. This is my twin right here.
Come on, stop playing. But yeah, nah, that was Yeah, Metro, that show, that was the one that we was like, oh yeah, we really got this. Mm-hmm. Like, all we gotta do is just lock in for real.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna be written. It's written.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all gotta keep doing that, bro, because like that is, you know, crowd control. You know what I'm saying? And what you're given is, you know, you're gonna hear this music, but you're gonna be entertained at the same time. Exactly. You're gonna be entertained at the same time. And I love the way, you know, y'all both, you know, handled y'all shit that day. And you performed perfect, bro. So I fucked with it. For real. So like, is that kind of like what you're planning on, you know, moving forward, is doing more shows and stuff like that and trying to get your name out there?
Damn, controversy.
We love it.
I would like to, ideally. Doing shows is a lot of energy for me too.
I feel you.
Like my first show in like literally 4 years.
Really? Okay,
my
cool.
Last time
couldn't
I performed,
tell. Could not tell.
Was at Shubas, you know? So yeah, I want to do more shows. I do. I talked to a couple people there about doing more shows.
Okay, for sure.
So yeah, I know that I want to. That's something that I think makes people believers. I do think that is such an important aspect. I'm thinking of ways to keep it entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we did at Shubas was super entertaining. I'm trying to imagine ways, like how I deal with the promo for the show. I want to keep that same innovative energy. So I've been thinking about what live sessions look like. So maybe not you seeing me in person, but creating that kind of online presence and trust with the audience that if you spend $15 to come to the show, you have a reference of what I just put online of this performance that I did.
So that's
a step that I want to try to take first before I say, all right, I'm trying to do more shows. I'm trying to convince people that they should come to my shows first. And then let's have some more shows. So right now the brand is just in brand awareness, brand development.
Watering seeds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I call it like a cooperative release process, which is the philosophy behind the Choose Your Fighter stuff. So
yeah,
I hear a lot of conversations on Twitter. I follow a lot of like the A&R PR Twitter people just because I want to know, keep my ears to the ground on that type of information. And you hear conversations about release, whichever one catches on, then put the money behind that. I am of the mindset that while that does work in some situations, I think it's possible that that could be a little bit dated because it's harder to break songs now.
Yeah.
And this is a lot of investment. If you really want to push a song, even just a rack, two racks is a big investment for most people right now. So behind having mastering, mixing costs, production costs, video, you know, we wanted to be smarter about spending the ad dollar. So we give what engaged audience I already have an opportunity to inform that decision now, which is how we got the Shining. So continuing that same type of innovative marketing, innovative branding is where we are with shows too.
I feel you. I love that. Can you check that for me real quick, bro?
I love it. What you got? Sweet. We almost there, 33 minutes.
For sure. All right, we're getting to the last like couple questions right now.
Okay. This one, this
car full. All right, we're good. We can just on that one. But yeah, we're getting to the last couple questions now. But I love the way that you bring that up about making innovative ways to, you know, market your shit. Because to me, like, that's what artists should be focusing on, bro. Like, you're giving people, like you said, giving them a reason to want to come to the show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I love that you did, you know, Choose Your Fighter with the singles and you had people choose the single because, like you said, that's where it's going. You know, I know you see a lot of people do live streams now and stuff like that. They try to get, you know, a community, you know what I'm saying? They try to get people together to like make decisions, you know? So I love that that's what you're doing because I honestly feel like that's where it's headed. You know what I'm saying? And I can't wait to see what you're gonna do next. Because even with the shapeshifter, that shit was crazy too. When you was doing the shapeshifter and how you released that shit, so I'm like, it's only gonna get better, bro.
Absolutely.
But like, what are like moving forward? Like, what is like your goals? Like that you gonna like I was like trying to accomplish like in the next or just this year, I guess.
Building that engagement that trust with people. Talking to people more like this. I love doing podcasts because there's so much context to what we do that not a lot of people get to kind of see behind the curtain, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think these are great opportunities to do that, to create humanity. Everybody feels like they're selling you something nowadays. Mm-hmm. So having conversation, I think podcasts are a great space to bridge that gap between the idea of, you know, a celebrity being far removed from their community that they serve or are a part of. So I love doing podcasts. That's something that I want to continue to do. That's one of my goals. Doing shows, building a brand. Like I said, we do want to release an EP this year.
Let's get it.
So using that cooperative release process to determine how it will be released, we are going to do more Choose Your Fighters. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to keep getting interesting. So that's the plan right now.
I'm ready for it. For real. Well, what you got going on, Tom?
Say it on.
Man, bro, I got something coming. I got some singles dropping soon. go ahead, tell
me. No, I ain't say nothing.
All right, true. Now I got a little EP that's coming soon. I got some singles I'm finna drop. I've been quiet for a little bit with a nigga back. Light of Day coming soon. Fucking talk about.
For real.
Yeah.
Just a little EP, you feel me? Anything y'all want to plug before we sign off?
Man.
Go play the Shining right now.
You feel me?
Run it up.
Stop. Play playing. The fucking Shining. Stop fire. Fucking playing.
You see my man's fire. Head to toe head down. To toe.
Drip down. Come
on. In the trainers, bro.
Tough.
In the
in the box.
In the box.
Trainers, bro.
Boys. I love it.
Oh, man. I really appreciate y'all having me.
No, for real. We appreciate you too, and like we tell every artist that come on here, this is all we need. All we need is just for y'all to come on, show the same love we show y'all. We just chop it up every year. Like that's all we want at the end of the day. You feel me?
I'd love to.
Yeah. For real. Yeah. No cap. And we'll sign off on that. Fresh flowers. You dig?
Daylight. Galaxy.
You already know what the fuck going on. We out.
You're.
Click that button for me, gang.